I am afraid of the dark. I am 53 years old. I live right next door to where I grew up, right next door to my parents, and I sleep with a nightlight. And I talk to dead people.
Welcome to Teach Me Something New. I'm your host, Britt Morin, and this is a production of iHeartRadio and Brit & Co. All my life, everyone's told me I should focus on being good at one thing. But the truth is, I'm curious about a lot of things. But how do you learn about everything? The answer? Make the world's best experts teach you in less than an hour. So come along with me as we all learn something new.
I'm so excited about today's show because my whole life I was a skeptic about anything related to being a psychic or a medium. I didn't even really know what those words meant. I have grown up very religious my entire life, and I've learned that those are potentially evil things. And I had this crazy moment 2 years ago where I went to a psychic medium purely out of curiosity. A bunch of my employees in San Francisco had been talking about their experiences with this guy named Felix, and he has like hundreds of five-star reviews on Yelp. He has a year-long wait list, and I genuinely just wanted to figure out what this dude was all about. So I go to Felix, and he starts telling me things that truly no one could have ever known. And not only things from the past, but also about the future. He told me things about illnesses that were going to happen within my family and fires that were going to start and long lost family members that I didn't know about. And I was mind blown. And so I'm definitely much more of a believer, but I do still have a lot of questions. That's why I'm so excited to welcome Teresa Caputo to the show today. Teresa is the star of TLC's Long Island Medium, a New York Times bestselling author and host of the podcast, Hey Spirit. She's a medium who says she's been sensing spirits since she was 4 years old. While this episode won't teach you about how to become psychic, Teresa's here to teach us all something new about how to tap into our own intuition and be more trusting of our gut instincts. With that, welcome, Teresa.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing
well. Look how
well.
Pretty you are.
Oh, look how pretty you are.
Oh, please. Thank you.
Okay. So to get everyone started and on the same page, what does it actually mean to be a psychic medium?
Well, can I first say something? I want to say that was amazing what you just said, because that is my wish of why I do what I do. I want people to believe in themselves. I want them to know that they still have that connection with their departed loved ones. That is a soul bond that can never be broken. So I refer to our intuition as our little Jiminy Cricket. You know, when you kind of get those feelings or those things, you're like, I don't know why I'm thinking that. And you just do it. And there's that inner voice inside of you. And I always say to everyone, whenever you ever take notice to when you go against that intuition, things always seem to go wrong. So everyone's intuition is different. Some people get intuitive things through dreams. Some people just get it through conversations with other people. Some people just get a pit in their stomach. For me, it's just a sensing, a feeling, and a knowing. I don't receive messages or intuition or things through dreams. I don't connect with spirit in that way. So everyone is different. And there is no right or wrong way of how your intuition works.
And can you grow that intuition? Like you're saying we all have a version of this, but you figured this out when you were four. So
well,
I didn't. I didn't find my intuition when
Well, you see, that's the thing. Like, so for me growing up, I always felt that I was different than it was just something deep in my soul. I think there's a difference in just being intuitive and sensing, feeling, and hearing things that aren't in a room but yourself. So that's the way I grew up. I always sensed and felt things that other people weren't. And my mom never made a big deal about these things. She always just kind of embraced it. And we always just kind of talked about it. And it wasn't until later in my 20s and early 30s that I discovered not only was I connecting with everyone, with my own loved ones, but I had the ability to connect with everyone else's loved ones.
Wow. And what was that first experience like for you when you were four?
Well, when I was four, I didn't know that I just thought everyone saw what I was feeling. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I was seeing my great-grandmother who had passed away a couple of years before I was born. And it wasn't, again, until later in my 20s. Like, I feel like everything happened in my 20s. I mean, I got married, I had children, but I saw a picture in my grandmother's house, and something struck me with this picture. And I was like, Grandma, I was like, who is this woman? And she's like, that's my mom. She's like, that's your great grandmother. And I was like, oh my God, that. And it clicked at that moment. That was the woman that was standing at the end of my bed at night that would make me feel safe, that I would sense and feel growing up. And so for me, that is when my gift and everything really started to come together.
Wow. So a lot of people would think maybe that's creepy that there's a ghost or somebody standing at your bed, but you felt safe and comforted by
that. For me, I felt safe with that. I felt that it was always that peace because I was sensing and feeling other things. I mean, listen, trust me, growing up with me was not easy. I mean, I would wake up in the middle of the night with blood-curdling screams. My mom would like come busting in my bedroom thinking that something was happening to me. I convinced one night that there was someone looking in my window with green eyes, and I had my brother and my dad at 3 o'clock in the morning on the roof with a ladder and, you know, checking the roof.
Yeah. Wow. So, green eyes. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, I have a four-year-old who is incredibly creative, very imaginative. You know, I have a six-year-old as well who's less so. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because my four-year-old claims he has like imaginary friends.
I was just going to say, they're not really imaginary friends. If you question him enough and you question the child enough and show pictures of past loved ones, I guarantee you they will talk about and say, oh yeah, that's who was in my room, you know, having tea with me, or who I was talking to. You know, you can't make, you know, look, Britt, I get it. I am the first one to say, how in the world can someone communicate with someone that is dead? It's impossible. I'm the first one to say it. But And there are common things that spirit might bring up or talk about, but through when someone has an experience with me, spirit will bring up things that only you would know about, or the person that I'm reading knows about. They might be things that you forgot about from years ago, things that have happened since they've died, things that you haven't shared with anyone else. Mm-hmm. And they're these unique validations so that you know that there truly is more to life than just here in the physical world. But more importantly, that the things that you are sensing and feeling that you think is them might be them, that it is them. It's not your imagination.
And what is the difference between psychic and medium and psychic medium?
I don't know. I think I'm a small, but
I've always wondered, like, some people are like, oh, you went to a medium, but wait, he's a psychic medium?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? You know, like,
well, the way that it was explained to me, because I didn't understand it either. So a medium is someone that is able to connect and communicate with the souls of the departed. Psychic is more, they say that you have to be psychic to be a medium. But I don't predict things. I don't give numbers. I don't ask about what's going to happen, you know, or what's going to come up. So, and I don't really get things through, like, cause some psychics might work with cards and things like that. I don't do that. I just simply, what happens with me during a session is I just start to sense and feel things that mean absolutely nothing to me, but life-changing to the person that spirit is speaking to.
And that's kind of what my experience was. You know, it was definitely a hybrid, right? There were, you say spirit. Spirit to you means
the soul of the departed.
The soul of somebody. Mm-hmm. But there can be multiple spirits that sort of show up for you, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that certainly happened. But then it was also things like, there's going to be a fire near your brother's house.
Wow.
Can you make sure he checks his smoke alarms? No one gets hurt, but there is a fire. And like, I was like, what? And
yeah,
I call my brother. My brother's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. The next day, there's a fire in his next door neighbor's house, and they like alerted him to make sure no one got hurt, but the kitchen was like blown apart. And it was things like that that were like a little too specific.
Yeah. Like they couldn't make that up.
No, like, I don't know how that was made up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was one of like 50 things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it certainly persuaded me to open my mind about this. But, you know, I know there are a lot of naysayers out there, or maybe people who think that this seeing the future or communicating with spirits is anti-religious and evil. Like, what do you say to these people?
Listen, trust me, I struggled with that for over 5 years because I am a practicing Catholic. And I share that with people because people wonder, oh my God, do you believe in God? Do you have a faith? And it took me over 5 years to incorporate my gift with my faith. And then I struggled with, okay, this is great. God has blessed me with this gift. But who in the world is going to want to come see a medium and speak to their relatives that have died? No idea why someone would want to do that. But what I learned from learning my gift and channeling the souls of the departed is that unfortunately, no matter who we lose or how they die, young or old, we here in the physical world are left with burdens and guilt. We're left with maybe a should've, a could've, a would've, and only if. And at the end of the day, all of these negative emotions do not give us the ability to heal. So I put my gift in God's hands and I said, if this is my soul's journey here in the physical world, is to help people move on with their life, after the loss of a loved one, you open the doors and I will walk through them. Mm. And at the time, Britt, you have to understand, my anxiety was so crippling because I am empathic, where I feel and take on other people's emotions, and I didn't know how to understand it. I was pretty much housebound at that time because of my anxieties. Mm. And here I am now, 20 years later, traveling all over the country, living on a tour bus, doing live shows. And so I kind of put all of it in a higher power's hands. And here I am, you know, changing people's life for the better. And, you know, look, I respect the fact that I want them to know that they still have that connection, that all those little things that go on around them, like if they think they smell something that reminds a cologne or a perfume, or if they think they hear their loved one's voice, or if they're finding change or feathers, whatever it may be, and they think of a loved one that has passed, know that that is them.
That's so interesting. I love that. That's really beautiful. And actually, I think answers a lot of those questions for people. It was beautiful that you put that out into the world and found that journey in front of you. So how do you tap into this power? You mentioned some people have dreams, some people like have to scribble. Like, what is your method?
I already started. I don't have a method. It just happens.
Just flows out of you. Do you have to hold on to something? Like Felix had to hold something of mine. Okay.
No, I don't have to. What happens for me is, and this is the other thing, everyone is different. You know, I always say this, one medium isn't better than another. We're just different on how we connect and how we deliver the messages. Mm-hmm. So for me, like there was a mother figure stepping forward, and it would be a mom. If it's not a mom, then it would be a grandmother or an aunt or someone like a mother. But then Spirit also had me, I wrote down that there was a tragedy and I started to taste blood. That's my symbol for when someone dies tragically. Mm. I did feel a hit in the head. So there had to have been like some type of accident where they died instantly.
You're saying that's what you picked up
what I'm feeling. Yes. Mm-hmm. What happens with me is when a soul starts to communicate with me, they clear out my own personal thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and they start to replace them with signs and symbols of things that I've experienced here in the physical world to relay messages to you. There is also, there is a young male stepping forward, and he tells me that he takes responsibility for his departure, which means that he takes responsibility for his actions that caused and or attributed to his departure.
Do you like people to respond to you if you're like on the right track?
Simple yes or no. I can't force spirit to give me information. I don't say, okay, I'm here with Britt. Now, all of her loved ones step forward. It doesn't work like that. That's not the way I work. If there's a healing message, if there's something to be said and that there is for healing purposes, then they step forward.
So
are you planning on having more children?
I love this so much right now.
I just
you're just nailing all of this right now, and I love that our listeners are getting to partake in it.
Oh boy.
What do you see for my future children?
I did. Well, it's not. I just felt
you
that
see, you just feel that there's.
I just felt
that yearning.
And I felt that there was someone holding a blanket, and when I see a blanket, it means a child getting ready to come here into the physical world. Oh. So, and it could look a lot of times someone might say, oh my God, you know, my husband and I, we were just discussing about having children. We decided not to have children anymore. Whatever the discussion is, it validates that the soul was present for that moment and that they do know what is going on. They are still a part of our life.
Right. So just to validate you, in front of our listeners, and Teresa and I have never met before before this chat. I have a grandfather who was shot in the head. Mm-hmm. I have a grandmother who I connected with recently, mm-hmm. For the first time in my life. Mm-hmm. I have the grandfather who was shot, mm-hmm. is definitely has some guilt around what happened.
So you understand placing himself in a situation that causes, and when spirit does that, they just don't want a burden or any negative emotion of their departure left on them of where we could have done something, or if things were done differently, or if they would have known, whatever our thought process is, they take responsibility for that.
Yeah. And I think it's so interesting because this is something that I have talked to, you know, Felix about before, the person, mm-hmm. I've talked, and he said something interesting to me, which was in the afterlife, mm-hmm. I asked him, if you were a bad person in your life, what happens in your afterlife? Are you still that person or are you something else? And I'm curious how you would answer this, but sure. He seemed to say that you almost like zoom out from what your life was on Earth.
Correct.
And mm-hmm. and reframe it in a new way. But maybe you have a better example of that.
So what spirit has shown me for your grandfather to step forward and to take responsibility, okay? And so burdens aren't left for other people. What Felix meant by zooming out is when we leave our physical body, we're immediately greeted by other souls on the other side. We then go through life review. So we have to relive our life here in the physical world through the eyes of the people that we hurt. I just got the goosebumps and the chills. So that's my symbol for that. I'm interpreting it correctly. And then the soul learns those lessons. They have to feel the emotion, maybe the disappointment, the hurt, mm-hmm. the pain, the sorrow. And they have to feel that. And then that's how the soul grows and learns lessons. Mm. I will share with you, because I am a big, quote unquote, scaredy cat. I am afraid of the dark. I am 53 years old. I live right next door to where I grew up, right next door to my parents, and I sleep with a nightlight, and I talk to dead people. But
that's incredible.
So you have to understand, I said that I only want information, and I protect everything with God's white light. I only want information that will help us, and I only want to know good things. I channel the souls that walk in God's white light. And how I know that is 100% correct is because one time I had done a reading and said to a woman, she unfortunately lost her daughter. I said, your daughter is claiming that she was murdered, but then there's also a suicide. I can see something next to her, but below her, but I can't feel anything from that soul. But she wants you to know that he's sorry and that he does know what he took from the family, and he is remorseful. It was so hard for me to say this to this mom, and the mom looked at me and said, that's what I wanted to know. Mm. I wanted to know if he was remorseful for killing my daughter. Wow. I couldn't see him. I could see him, but I couldn't feel. I couldn't get any information from him. Mm-hmm. It had to come through the daughter. Mm-hmm. So for a soul, so then the soul learns lessons, and then the soul graduates levels on the other side. It's almost like a school. I refer to like school. So the more lessons the soul has to learn, the lower the soul enters on the other side. So then the soul will either continue to learn lessons on the other side, or it will have that choice once the soul circle is completed, can come back here into the physical world, into another physical body, and learn lessons. That's why when mediums or psychics might talk about our destiny in life is set. How we reach that destiny is up to the free will choices that we make.
Mm-hmm. So once again, just tying it back to those that might be listening that maybe are religious, like there's mm-hmm. definitely still free will. And
1,000%.
But you're also saying, you know, there's this afterlife that happens. Mm-hmm. How would you equate that to like a Christian Catholic perspective on heaven, for instance?
Well, souls have also said to me, for this popped into my head, a child, I remember saying to his mom, saying, when I got to heaven, I thanked God that you were my mom in this world. Mm. You know, I always say, I'll find out when we get there. When I see white and golden light, that is my symbol for God's presence. There are times where a soul will step forward and the Blessed Mother will be standing next to them. That is my symbol for that they didn't have a strong faith here in the physical world, but they are in heaven. Mm-hmm. Is that for an interpretation for us to understand? Maybe so. Mm-hmm. But I can also tell you that on the other side, the souls have shown me that there is no hurt. There's no hatred. There's no negativity the way what we carry here in the physical world.
Right. And so is there a hell?
I always say spirit has never said to me, Britt, Teresa, it's hot down here. So I go with that there is no hell. This is the hell, the physical world. Sometimes souls will say that. They'll say this is the quote unquote hell, right. The tough part. This is not an easy life.
And in some parts of the world, there's a belief that when you sort of come back to the earth, mm-hmm. potentially, if you believe in something like reincarnation, you've sort of karmically done something in a past life to propel you in a new way in this current life. Do you follow mm-hmm. that philosophy, or is it like random?
I believe in a lot of different things. And I tend to, the things that I share are the things that I've experienced. So I have done past life regressions. I've always had a fear of heavy rain. No reason why. Heavy, heavy rain. They say that when we have unknown fears, that's the soul remembering something that happened in a previous life.
Oh, interesting. What's been one of the most shocking or wild experiences you've had? Any most memorable?
Oh God, which one do you want? So there are so many different readings of where it has, I mean, there are freaky things that are like, what is going on? Like the time when I was doing an arena, there was 7,000 people and I get to the back. When I do live shows, I'm like down in the crowd and I'm like walking like randomly up to people. And I get to the back of this young man about a car accident. He wasn't acknowledging anything. I finally get to the back and I'm like, you were the one driving the car that killed those three boys. And one of the boys that he killed, he didn't know too well. And the young soul that had died kept saying, I know, I want to thank you for wanting to tell my mom how sorry you were. And that we all made a decision to get in that car that night. It just wasn't your fault. And all of a sudden, I'm in the back. And then all of a sudden, right directly up in the bleachers, this woman comes walking down out of 7,000 people. I am right in front of her. She's like, that is my son you're channeling. That is the boy that was driving the car. And she came down and hugged him and said, I never blamed you for the accident. And I'm sorry that you had to serve time connected to my son's death. And all this boy wanted to do was apologize and to tell his mom how sorry he was. And it was such a healing moment where you could hear a pin drop and where they both looked at each other and embraced and cried and said how sorry they were to each other.
Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful. I can't imagine the amount of emotion you must carry, positive and negative, mm-hmm. or at this point, have you trained yourself to stay apathetic to it?
Well, it's almost like I don't retain it. I kind of explain it to people as if you look at my body as like my body is like a colander, and my brain is almost like spaghetti. The information from spirit is like the water, and it just kind of runs out and dissipates. Mm. They're not my own personal thoughts, feelings, and emotions. I can't hold on to them. Sometimes spirit gets to a spot in my soul and I do become emotional, but I can't have so much emotion while I'm reading. You know, it's hard. I mean, it's the hardest thing that I have to do is channel a soul and especially if someone loses a child and tell them that it's okay to go on with their life and to be happy.
Right. But it must make you more immune to the idea that death is such a bad thing. Is that something you've learned?
I've learned that I am not afraid to die. Mm-hmm. I think that's something we all fear because we don't know what it's like, right? We don't know what's going to happen. We really don't know. And mm-hmm. I still say, I'll find out when I get there. Right. And if there is nothing, well, then I won't know it any different, right? Because right. there's nothing. Exactly. So I'd rather be, you know, be hopeful, right?
Right, exactly. And take precaution, take your vitamins, you know, exactly. eat well, avoid exactly. cancer. Yeah.
You know, I just, and I think, listen, I don't want to die, but I know that I will be greeted by other souls that have gone before me. I mean, I will be channeling someone and they'll say, I called out for my parents or I saw my brother, and literally the person that I'm reading, they're like, oh my God, that's what happened. My mom was caught and everyone said she was crazy. And, you know, we'll describe exact moments of what happened in the room when they die.
You know, I just can't even imagine. And I can't imagine, by the way, in a stadium of 7,000 right. people, yeah. how yeah. many spirits might be like around. I don't know. It seems like really anxiety driven. But you've got some sort of power. Let's speak to that, though. Let's talk to how we can all sort of practice honing in our own intuition. What would you say is step number one for anyone who wants to develop a stronger sense of intuition?
I wanted to just share this earlier with you also. What I loved when you were explaining, when you had gone with your experience, you went in with no expectations. Mm-hmm. That is, I think, the best thing. Like, you can't walk around and say to people, okay, Dad, by Saturday, I want to see 4 red cardinals, 2 double rainbows, 10 ladybugs, and 4 feathers, and I know it's going to be you.
I love it.
You know, I say to people, just be open, just be aware. The amazing thing about signs and symbols is they come out of nowhere when you're least expecting it. It's like, are you ever like in the shower and you think you hear the phone ring, or you mm-hmm. think you hear someone call your name? Like, that's someone trying to get your attention. Have you ever done a mindless task and you hear those things? You get in the car, you turn the radio on, and you hear that song on the radio that reminds you of a good friend that might've passed. Mm-hmm. It's not a current top 40 hit, right? Mm-hmm. That is spirit getting us to do something, to notice it, to say, oh my God, they're with me at this moment.
Is there like one type of sign for each soul, or how does that work?
Everyone can be different. But why the signs and symbols are different? So let's just hypothetically use your grandfather for an example. Mm-hmm. Somebody might smell a cologne. Somebody might smell cigarette smoke if he smoked. Or someone might just hear that song or that feeling. Someone might find quarters or dimes. Somebody might find feathers. Mm-hmm. The reason why signs and symbols are all so different is because it promotes conversation. You will share with other family members, oh, you know what I saw today? I found a dime. I know Graham was with me. Mm. Or I saw the bunny.
Something that connects you to that person in
some
way.
It's noticing something that is odd, weird, maybe you might think is of a coincidence. It's not. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember the day my grandmother died. I pulled up at her home, and there was a bunny, a baby bunny, sitting on her stoop. And as soon as I pulled up, it was almost like the bunny was waiting for me. The bunny looked at me, hopped off, and it was almost like it was hopping with excitement, stopped in front of my car and just stared at me and then went away. And I felt it. I was like, that was my grandmother saying goodbye to me. Because I had missed her departure.
So it sounds like staying open and aware and potentially finding these like quiet moments. You mentioned the shower, which, by the way, I think is really hard for people right now because we always have a screen in front of us. We're always distracting ourselves with something. So would you advise that people meditate or sit in stillness, or like, what's the right thing to do?
The number one thing is to be aware. Be open to things that go on around you that is odd, weird, or a coincidence. If you really want to quiet your mind a little more to connect more, yes, absolutely. Meditate. Find that quiet time. Some people might do it through prayer, whatever it may be. You're quieting your mind. Sometimes we can do it with stones, with amethyst, or like a smoky quartz or a clear quartz crystal. Some people hold stones. This is the thing. Everyone has to find their own, not everyone is going to connect the same way. Mm-hmm. I want to also just share with people, with your listeners also, I don't connect with spirit in this way, but when you have a dream and you, nothing else might make sense, or you might not remember anything, but you remember your loved one so vividly. And it's so real, as if you were with them and they're smiling. That is a visitation. That is their soul coming to you to let them know that they're not wanting you to remember them sick, but more importantly, wanting you to remember them healthy and that they are okay.
In the physical world, back to sort of our own intuition and picking up on things around us, let's talk about picking up on the energy of others. Is there a way to do that in a better way than we currently do?
Well, sometimes you don't want to pick up other people's energy.
That's true. We only want positive. I liked your, what would you say? Yes, the white light, positive energy. Light. I want all of that.
Yeah. You know, listen, for many years, I mean, I still at times, I will walk into a room. I will protect myself in God's white light. Because there are times I can walk into a room, I can walk into a store, and I just feel like this. All of a sudden, I'll have an instant headache, or I'll feel nauseous right away. Like, I know I'm picking up energy or negative energy, or it could be someone else's illness in that space. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to be in someone else's energy unless if I'm delivering a message. You know, but you can also, quote unquote, read someone's vibe. You know, or just be like, if you ever feel something that doesn't feel right for you, when you know that's not the way you feel, you're picking up someone else's energy, aura, however you want to interpret it. I always use the term, I was taught to say, be gone, you are not of me, which means you're acknowledging the energy that's there, but you're not allowing it to enter into your space. I don't think people realize how other people's energy affects people.
Right. But what about if it's positive and you want to pick it up?
1,000%. But you're just going to engage the energy, you know?
Yeah, I think it's also just about being more personable. Like, how do you pick up on connection? And you know, there are those people in life that literally don't know how to get on your vibe, to use that metaphor. And then there's others that like instantly can match it and you flow with them from the beginning.
I can connect with anyone. And I always say, like, it doesn't cost anything to be nice to someone. Like, sometimes some people I find are just so guarded and so afraid of being rejected or not. You know, like, you walk into a store, hi, smile, hold the door for someone, you know, pay for someone's coffee behind you, you know.
So what about those dealing with grief right now? We're in the midst of one of the hardest times in the global history.
Yeah.
What have you seen to be most helpful when dealing with loss?
The thing that with loss is that there is no right or wrong way to grieve. And that it's okay not to be okay. We can't go back. We can't change anything. But things that happen in our life, we learn from. And I kind of compare the loss to 9/11, like as we're losing people now due to COVID. Unfortunately, the past several months where people couldn't be with their loved ones. They didn't know what was happening to them. They didn't know if they suffered. They weren't able to lay their loved ones to rest respectfully the way that they feel they would have liked to have. And I think anyone listening now, if you have lost a loved one during COVID, the one thing that spirit always stresses is know whatever you do with my physical body, that I was not a part of it anymore. I'm okay with how you needed to lay me to rest, or whether if you had no choice on how you had to lay me to rest. The physical body, what we do with the physical body is for us. They're not a part of that. From the moment the soul leaves, they're immediately healed and the soul is complete. And it doesn't take any sorrow, negativity, burdens, illnesses with them on the other side. You know, and it's interesting you brought that up, because I just, about 2 years ago, I felt this need to write this book. It just came out in October called Good Morning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And basically this book is about that a loss is a loss. And we have daily losses every day. It is something that we have to live without. What once was, and we grieve what once was. And whether if someone did not lose a loved one, we've all lost something over these past months.
Right.
Whatever it may be. And it's okay. Like, we have to honor these things. We have to honor these losses, these everyday losses that affect us, affect our soul, how we move on with our lives. We don't realize it. I mean, I wrote things about losing an argument, losing a friendship, losing a job, losing finances. Mm-hmm. And it is mind-blowing that it is everything that is going on in the world right now.
Right. It's tumultuous. And I think there's this feeling of inadequacy if you haven't lost a loved one, but maybe you have lost a job or you have lost a relationship, mm-hmm. that your pain and suffering is not great enough to grieve. But all of us are grieving in some mm-hmm. way.
Absolutely. In some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I think the worst thing that we can do when we lose something, especially a loved one, is to go back and to relive and only focus on the things that we feel that we should have done differently or could have done differently. Mm. My philosophy in life is, I always say, if you think the grass is greener on the other side, it's AstroTurf. If you think that things could have been different, you're not looking at the complete other side of the coin. Mm-hmm. So you have to be fair to yourself and don't beat yourself up for choices and decisions that were made at a time where that was the right choice and decision. I think that is the biggest thing that I see with people when they lose someone, that they go back and they say, well, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I see that? Only if they didn't do this. I just read a family. You'll see them on Long Island Medium. We just wrapped up a season where the whole entire family had COVID. Everyone had COVID. Mm-hmm. And the dad was so sick. He was the sickest out of all of them. And he drove himself to the hospital. And each and every one of them, the father was saying, if I didn't go to the hospital, I still would have died, because they were blaming themselves. They were saying, how could we let him go to the hospital? If he stayed home with us, he never would have died.
Wow. But they can't hold themselves to that.
Absolutely
what you're
not. Yeah. And the dad came through and he said, I couldn't survive. There was no way I could have stayed at home. I mm-hmm. was the sickest out of everyone. And I felt that I needed to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm.
I think that's really comforting. I think this is a great point, a really validating point to what you said at the beginning of this conversation, that so much of what you do and you strive to do is to heal. Mm-hmm. And the idea that it's not our fault, or right. we left something undone, or it ended abruptly, you know, when it was unfinished. Like, it's not finished, potentially. Right. And it's okay. And we have to give ourselves the permission to believe that in many instances in our life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So as we start to wrap up here, is there anything else you'd like to share with me? Do you want to do anything else you're seeing for me, my family, my babies? Like, I want you to feel free to go
I just felt, I don't predict things. The only thing that I did feel was I just kept feeling pregnant. And I am in menopause, so that is not possible. but it's always just a wave. And there was just like this excitement, and I just felt a renewed to a life. I did feel something, and I don't believe it is for you. So I do believe that it is for someone else. It might even be for someone else that might be listening. I don't know. And I always say this is why I'm good at what I do, is because I feel and I say whatever it is that I sense and feel. I felt that there was a father energy stepping forward and apologizing for not being there for them the way that we deserve them to be. Mm. And there was something that you brought up earlier when you said that, you know, our life, this goes back to our life's destiny and purpose here in the physical world. And that the soul has a journey and it's up to us to find it. And as I always felt different in life, I felt complete when I embraced my gift. Hmm. So I always say, whoever says what normal is, what I do is so much more than talking to dead people. It restores people's faith, maybe faith in themselves and their family. How many times is a death or something happens and people aren't speaking to each other anymore? Families are torn apart, where someone comes for a reading and then it reunites a family. Hmm. So what I do, I feel, gives us to permission to grieve our own way, and more importantly, to allow us to heal and know the difference between grief and healing. We will grieve the loss of our loved ones for the rest of our life here in the physical world. The healing process is something completely different, and we owe it to ourselves to allow us to heal.
That's beautiful. So well said. Thank you, Teresa. If there's one thing you would ask our listeners to do this week, what is that thing?
To love and honor and respect themselves.
Oh, that's important, especially yeah, with where we're so at in the important. World today.
So important.
Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you.
Where can we find you? Where can we learn more? Where can we follow everything you're doing?
Well, you can always follow my social media handles are Teresa Caputo. You can listen to some great episodes of Channeling the Souls of the Departed and tips on how to live a positive life on Hey Spirit. Long Island Medium is returning to Discovery Plus, something brand new this year. Discovery Plus, so you can stream it all year long.
Love it.
Thanks for listening to Teach Me Something New, a production of iHeartRadio and Brit & Co. I'm your host, Brit Morin. Find more information about each episode at brit.co/listen. You can also find me on social media. I'm at Brit, or follow us at Brit & Co. Teach Me Something New is executive produced by Allie Ives and Allie Perry, with additional production and sound design by Mark Lemmerjazy and Aaron Peterson.